Cassette number 15, side 1, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, continuing section 2, division D, Thought and Fire Elementals, on page 629. Sevenfold Solar Fire. The seven heavenly men, the sum total of light, the seven rays of manifestation of the spiritual sun. In time and space, these seven rays of light become the nine, the major three, with the third demonstrating as seven, and are thus esoterically the nine petals of the logoic ego as he manifests in his physical vehicle. They are esoterically the suns of light. Sevenfold fire by friction. The seven brothers of Fohat. The seven manifestations of electricity or of electrical phenomena. These are the seven Raja lords or devas of the seven planes. They are the seven fires, or those seven states of activity through which consciousness is expressing itself. They are the vehicles of consciousness and the seven vibrations. They are esoterically the brothers of energy. Therefore, it will be apparent that the sum total of logoic manifestation, as it can be seen in existence in time and space, is seven spirits, sevenfold will, seven rays, sevenfold quality or psyche, seven deva lords, sevenfold form. The latter are literally the seven spirilli, or force vibrations within the logoic physical permanent atom. This needs to be carefully borne in mind and pondered upon. The seven rays are the sum total of the psychic nature of the logos as it radiates through his physical form, his seven qualities, the aggregate of the expression of his desire or love nature. The seven spirits are the sum total of his will-to-be aspect, the synthetic life of his total manifestation, that which causes the persistence of the form and its evolution for as long as the logoic ego seeks physical existence. Page 630. To carry the simile or analogy even further back and thus bear in mind the resemblance between microcosmic and macrocosmic development, we have 1. The seven spirits who find their originating incentive on A. the cosmic lower mental levels, B. the logoic jewel in the lotus, C. the cosmic atmic plane. 2. The seven heavenly men are in the line of force from A. the cosmic astral plane, B. the logoic nine-petaled lotus, C. the cosmic buddhic plane, the seven rishis of the Great Bear. 3. The seven sons of Fohat find their vital force emanating from A. the cosmic physical plane, B. the logoic permanent atoms within the causal body, C. the cosmic higher mental levels. Yet these three are but the expressions of one existence, for behind the logos in physical incarnation is to be found the logoic monad, expressing itself through the logoic ego and its reflection, the logoic personality. All these spiritual essences are individualized self-conscious identities, and the fiery lives are real and conscious vital existences. Thus we see the logos manifesting as one unity, yet three in one. We see the threefold unity differentiating into the seven great lives, containing within themselves all lesser lives. Another broad differentiation must next be touched upon. A. The seven fires form the 49 fires. B. The seven heavenly men manifest through 49 lesser rays. C. The seven spirits show forth as 49 existences. Page 631. In connection with the spirit aspect, it will prove unprofitable to carry the thought any further. Of spirit, per se, we can know nothing, and beyond predicating the 49 solar manus, each of the heavenly men is expressing himself on the physical plane through seven manus, it is impossible to go. Therefore, in discussing these abstract questions, we will concern ourselves only with the seven rays of light, or heavenly men, and the seven fires. Footnote. The 49 Manus. They are the patrons or guardians of the race cycles in a Manvantara, or Day of Brahma. There are seven races in a world period, and there are seven world periods. Return to text. Each of the seven rays of light differentiates into seven, making the 49 aspects of the logoic psychic nature, as it shows itself on the cosmic physical plane, and each of the seven fires manifests as seven lesser fires, making the 49 fires referred to by HPB in the Secret Doctrine. Volume 1, page 567. The seven heavenly men manifest each through seven lesser entities who form the psychic centers in their body in the same manner as they, in their turn, form the psychic centers in the logoic vahan, or vehicle. Each of the seven fires, or deva lords, of a plane manifest through seven lesser devas who form the central fire and consciousness of the substance of a subplane. It is with their mutual interplay and work that we are now concerned, or with the study of matter as it is affected and built into form through the medium of divine thought or will. Of the higher fires, the lords of the four higher planes, I do not seek to deal, for it only profits us to study the construction of thought forms in the three worlds through the medium of deva essences. These are vitalized and manipulated by the builders, the Daihan Chohans, the heavenly men through the force of their life, through their knowledge of the logoic will or purpose, and through the power of their psychic nature. Page 632. Thus, they are occupied in building the logoic physical body and in carrying out his plans in that body, in this way fulfilling the purpose for which he incarnated. Their work is infinitely greater than this, for it lies primarily on cosmic levels, but this is what concerns us and all that we can in any way grasp. Man, in the three worlds of human endeavor, works at two things. First, the building of his body of manifestation, a threefold body. Second, the construction of thought forms, which he builds of mental matter and vitalizes by desire, and which he holds within his aura, thus constructing a tiny system of his own. Both man and the heavenly men work in deva substance, both cooperate with the devas, both manifest will, psychic quality, and intelligent activity as they pursue their work, but a difference lies not only in degree, but in consciousness. Man works usually unconsciously. The heavenly men on cosmic levels work for the most part consciously. Herein lies a hint as to the stage of evolution of our logos. This matter is of real difficulty, for the subject is abstruse and profound. We will now leave these basic ideas and deal more specifically with the devas with whom we are immediately concerned, or with the three groups I have outlined, the Agni Shaitans, the Agni Suryans, and the Agni Shvatas. They are concerned primarily with the evolution of the dense body of the logos, the liquid, gaseous, and dense subplanes of the cosmic physical, or the three worlds of human endeavor, with the magnetic radiation of the logos through his physical vehicle, and with the radiatory emanations of the particular heavenly man who is expressing himself through our planet. Page 633. Finally, they are concerned with the evolution of consciousness in the three worlds, and particularly with the individualization of the human unit of consciousness, and with the vitalization of the centers in the body of the heavenly man with whom we are peculiarly connected. Footnote: the lunar angels have to reach the plane of the solar angels. They have to win immortality. Self-consciousness is their goal. From Secret Doctrine, Volumes 1 and 3. Return to text. The subject of our consideration now is the fire devas of the physical plane, those great building devas who are working out the purposes of the logos in his dense physical body. Let us get our ideas as clear as possible on this matter. In the following tabulation, the status of these devas will be apparent at a glance. Name: Agni Shaitan. Cosmic plane, seventh subplane, cosmic physical. Systemic plane, physical. Nature, densest concretion. Ruler, Kshiti. Name: Agni Suryan. Cosmic plane, sixth subplane, cosmic physical. Systemic plane, astral. Nature, liquid. Ruler, Varuna. Name: Agni Shvata. Cosmic plane, fifth subplane, cosmic physical. Systemic plane, mental. Nature, gaseous. Ruler, Agni. The Agni Chaitans. These are the devas who construct and build in matter of the densest kind in connection with logoic manifestation. They function on the seventh subplane of the cosmic physical plane and are the producers of the greatest concretion. In the planetary body of our planetary logos, they are the builders of the Earth, his densest form, and throughout the entire solar system, they are the sum total of that activity and vibration which demonstrates through what we call solid substance. Page 634. Therefore, it will be apparent that under the law, they will have a peculiarly powerful effect on the lower subplane of the systemic physical plane, hence their esoteric appellation of the Agni Shaitans of the inner or central heat. They are the totality of the lowest vibration in the cosmic physical vehicle. The Agni Suryans are the builders on the sixth subplane of the cosmic physical plane, our systemic astral plane. They represent, as I have before hinted, the sympathetic nervous system in the logoic physical body, just as their brothers of the seventh vibration represent the sum total of the circulatory or blood system. A hint to the student who is interested in the physiological key lies in the relationship between the two great groups of devas who build and construct the most objective portion of logoic manifestation, and the two groups of corpuscles, which in their mutual interaction hold the body in health. There is an analogy also in the relationship between the devas of the astral plane and the motor and sensory nerves of the physical body. I will not enlarge upon this angle of vision. These devas have to do, in a very esoteric sense, with the nerve plexus in the A. solar system, physical sun, B. planetary scheme, dense planet, C. human physical body, dense body, and are therefore a powerful factor in the eventual vitalization of the centers in man. The etheric centers, or the focal points of force of a heavenly man, are on the fourth cosmic ether, the buddhic plane. The astral plane is closely allied to the buddhic, and as the etheric centers of our heavenly man, for instance, come into full activity, the force is transmitted through the astral correspondence to the fourth physical ether in which the centers of man exist. Page 635. The Agni Shvatas are the builders on the fifth or gaseous subplane of the cosmic physical, and from the human standpoint are the most profoundly important, for they are the builders of the body of consciousness per se. From the psychic standpoint of occult physiology, they have a close connection with the physical brain, the seat or empire of the thinker, and as at this stage all that we can know must be viewed karma manasically, it will be apparent that between the sympathetic nervous system and the brain is such a close interaction as to make one organized whole. This microcosmic correspondence is of interest, but in studying these groups of devas at present, we will view them principally in their work as systemic and planetary builders, leaving the student to trace out for himself the human analogy. He will learn thereby. Having indicated certain lines of thought, we will now take up these groups one at a time and consider them. The Agni Shaitans, physical plane devas. These devas are the sum total of physical plane substance. This plane is, as we know, divided into two parts, the four ethers, four subplanes, the demonstrably concrete or dense three subplanes. We have here a subdivision of the seventh subplane of the cosmic physical plane, making the lowest manifestation one that is divided into 49 subplanes or states of activity. For purposes of active work, the devas of the system are divided into 49 groups, the 49 fires. The Agni Shaitans, in turn, are also divided into 49 groups, thus reflecting the whole. Page 636. 1. The Raja Lord, Kshiti, the life of the physical plane. 2. Three groups of Agni Shaitans concerned with A. the force or energy of physical substance, that electrical aspect which produces activity. B. The construction of forms. They produce the union of negative and positive substance and thus bring into being all that can be seen and touched in the exoteric and ordinary connotation. C. The internal heat of substance which nourishes and causes reproduction. They form the purely mother aspect. These three groups are subdivided again into seven groups, which form the matter of each subplane, viewing that matter as the body of manifestation of one of the seven devas through whom the Raja Lord of the plane is manifesting. These seven groups are again divided into seven, making 49. The three groups function as follows. Group A on the first subplane. They are the sum total of the atomic matter of the physical plane. Group B on the second, third, and fourth etheric subplanes. They are the substance of those planes, the transmitters of prana, through which prana flows to the most concrete aspects of the logoic, dense vahan, or vehicle. Group C, the lowest three subplanes. They are the devas who there are the essences of all that is tangible, visible, and objective. A very real distinction must be made by students between the centers and the remainder of the body as they investigate the construction of the body of the solar logos or of a planetary logos. Page 637. The centers are allied or connected with consciousness and are composed of self-conscious units, the human monads. The remainder of the body is composed of deva substance, yet the two together form a unity. The deva units, therefore, far outnumber the human, and deva substance is also feminine and negative, the human hierarchy being masculine. Through the positive activity of the centers, the negative deva substance is influenced, built, and energized. This is true of a solar logos, a planetary logos, and a human being. Three types of force, therefore, play upon or through these devas. A. That energizing the devas of the first subplane, the atomic. This emanates directly from the first aspect of Brahma, or Agni, considering him as a self-conscious identity, the third person of the logoic trinity, and therefore spirit, soul, and body, himself in his separated essential nature. B. That energizing the devas of construction, or the form-building groups. This comes from the second aspect of Brahma and is prana, issuing from the physical sun and working under the law of attraction. C. That energizing the devas of the lowest three orders, emanating from Brahma in his third aspect. Thus, in the dual force, or the aspects of matter itself, interacting the one upon the other, densest forms of all are produced. Yet these three function as one. Group C, Agni Shaitans. In considering these groups of Agni Shaitans, we must remember that we are dealing with that manifestation of the logos with which exoteric science is dealing, and that as regards Group C, science is already making fair progress in the accumulation of knowledge. It remains yet for science to acknowledge the entified nature of substance, and thus account for the life that energizes the substance of the three lower subplanes. Page 638. Footnote. The entified nature of all substance is technically known as hylozoism. H.P.B. says, hylozoism, when philosophically understood, is the highest aspect of pantheism. It is the only possible escape from idiotic atheism based on lethal materiality and the still more idiotic anthropomorphic conceptions of the monotheists, between which it stands on its own entirely neutral ground. Hylozoism demands absolute divine thought, which would pervade the numberless active creating forces or creators, which entities are moved by and have their being in, from, and through that divine thought. Such active creators are known to exist and are believed in because perceived and sensed by the inner man in the occultist. From the Secret Doctrine, Volume 2, pages 167, 168. Footnote. An atom is an entified abstraction. A. The informing entity of the system is the logos. B. The informing entity of a plane is its Raja Lord, such as Indra, Agni, Varuna, Kshiti. C. The informing entity of a planet is its planetary logos. D. The informing entity in the microcosm is a Daihan Chohan. E. The informing entity in the causal body is the divine thinker. F. The informing entity in a physical atom is an elemental life. Fire is in all things. A. The informing entity is fire. B. The matter of the form is permeated with fire. C. The developing mind is cosmic fire. Taken from Secret Doctrine, Volume 1. Return to text. This recognition by science that all forms are built of intelligent lives will come about when the science of magic begins again to come to the fore, and when the laws of being are better understood. Magic concerns itself with the manipulation of the lesser lives by a greater life. When the scientist begins to work with the consciousness that animates substance, atomic or electronic, and when he brings under his conscious control the forms built of this substance, he will gradually become cognizant of the fact that all entities of all grades and of varying constitutions go to the construction of that which is seen. This will not be until science has definitely admitted the existence of etheric matter as understood by the occultist, and until it has developed the hypothesis that this ether is in differing vibrations. When the etheric counterpart of all that exists is allocated to its rightful place and known to be of more importance in the scale of being than the dense physical, being essentially the body of the life or vitality, then the role of the scientist and the occultist will merge. Page 639. HPB has said that the dense physical is not a principle, and this point is frequently overlooked in connection with man and the logos. Its importance cannot be too strongly realized, for it has the effect of transferring the point of centralization or of polarization in the case of man into his etheric body, composed of matter of the four higher subplanes of the systemic physical plane, and in the case of the logos, of the four higher subplanes of the cosmic physical plane. The point is one of very real complexity, for it involves the realization that, from the standpoint of the occultist, the lowest vibration with which he may concern himself is that of the systemic etheric in its four lesser allied vibrations. Similarly, macrocosmically, the lowest logoic vibration with which the greater adepts are concerned is the cosmic etheric. The three lowest systemic and cosmic vibrations are the result of reflex action on the part of negative substance, for the lower three are negative to the higher four, synchronous vibration inherent in negative substance, the residue of an earlier system and embodying therefore past karma for the logos and for man. Vibrations that are gradually being superseded by the imposition of a higher note. Therefore, for both man and the logos, they occultly form the body of death. This brings us to the point which we are seeking to make anent this third group of the lowest devas. They are very destructive where man is concerned, for they embody the final and therefore powerful vibration of the past system, the conscious activity of dense matter. Hence, there is consequently a profound truth in the statement that man is at the mercy of the elements. Page 640. Man can physically be burned and destroyed by fire. He is helpless before volcanic action and cannot protect himself from the ravages of fire unless in the initial stages of such deva endeavor. The occult importance of the war man wages on the fire devas, for instance, is very real in connection with the fire department in any city. The time lies far ahead as yet, but it will surely come when the personnel of these departments will be chosen for their ability to control the Agni Shaitans when manifesting destructively, and their methods will no longer be that of water, or the calling in of the water devas to neutralize the fire devas, but that of incantation, and a knowledge of the sounds that will swing into action forces which will control the fiery, destructive elements. The third group of these devas is very definitely connected with the control of the Manus department and of the great devas associated with that department on this planet. Through their activity during certain cycles, the entire surface of the earth is changed through the medium of volcanic action. Continents are raised and submerged. Volcanoes are active or quiescent, and thus the world is purified by fire. In their own department, these Agni Shaitans are kept busy building the mineral forms through the agency of fire. They are the alchemists of the lower regions, and through contact with them, and through the knowledge of the words by which they are controlled, the future scientific alchemists I use this expression in contradistinction to the idealistic alchemists of the past, will work with minerals and with the lives embodied in all mineral forms. The secret of the transmutation of the baser metals into gold will be revealed when world conditions are such that gold is no longer the standard, and hence the free manufacture of gold will not lead to disaster, and when scientists work with the life aspect, or with positive electrical life, and not with the substance or form aspect. Page 641. We have seen that the work of the lowest group of Agni Shaitans is to build continents by fire, to purify by fire during alternate cycles, and to construct the metals and the minerals. It is also concerned with the tending of the fires of the hearth, or those fires which warm, cheer, and produce livable conditions in a planet and, incidentally, in a home. This is of very vital import, for it means that they are connected with the central basic fires in the bowels of the earth, with the central basic fire that nourishes and warms the physical forms of all the kingdoms of nature, and consequently with the kundalini fire at the base of the spine in individual man. It is not advisable for us further to enlarge upon their functions. It should be noted that in connection with the matter aspect, there is less to be said than on consciousness and on the hylozoistic aspect of manifestation. The reason lies in the fact that exoteric science is slowly yet steadily finding out the nature of phenomena and discovering for itself the character of electrical manifestation. In their slowness of discovery lies safety. It is not wise nor right yet for the true nature of these different forces and powers to be fully known. Therefore, it is not possible for us to do more than indicate certain broad general lines. In due course of time, as the human family becomes centered in the higher and not in the lower nature, and as the force from the higher planes can more easily impose itself on the lower, the facts concerning these lives and builders, their methods of work, and the laws of their being will be known. Knowledge at this time would be productive of two results. It would first of all bring the human family into the power, as yet blind and destructive, of certain elementals who are of a nature analogous to that of the physical body. Page 642. Hence destruction of the form would ensue, or paralysis and insanity on a large scale would eventuate. Secondly, it would put power into the hands of certain of the brothers of the left-hand path, and of a number of unconscious magicians, of whom there are quite a number, who would use it only for selfish, evil, and material ends. Footnote. The left-hand path is that followed by the black magician and by the brothers of the shadows. It originates in the use of the forces of nature for selfish ends. It is characterized by intense selfishness and separativeness, and ends in Avicii, the eighth sphere, the home of lost souls, or those shells of the lower man which have become separated from their egoic or individual life principle. Return to text. Hence no more can be said anent dense physical substance and its embodiers. The Agni Shaitans of the third group are as yet a menace to man, and are only handled in group formation and on a large scale by the head of the Manus department through their own rulers, certain devas of a development equal to that of the sixth initiation. The occult hierarchy of our planet is primarily concerned with the development of self-consciousness in man and with the intelligent interpretation of the happenings of nature. It is concerned with a wise cooperation with the building forces of nature, and the object of its main endeavor is the vitalization and activity of the centers in the heavenly man of our planet and in the individual units of the human family. The occult hierarchy is a great force center, the heart, head, and throat of the heavenly man, as these three centers function in a triple coordination. Paralleling their activities along the line of consciousness, and primarily consciousness or intelligence as it demonstrates through the third and fourth kingdoms, is to be found a great hierarchy of devas who concern themselves with the development of that portion of the body of a heavenly man which is not included in the active centers. Perhaps some idea of what I seek to convey may be gathered from an illustration. page 643. The occult hierarchy is concerned with the unfoldment of the nine-petaled lotus in the heavenly man and in man, the former through reflex action between the cosmic physical and the cosmic mental, while the great Deva hierarchy is concerned with the permanent atoms, with the egoic body, and with the development of the spirille. Thus, the function of the Agni Shaitans of the lowest furnaces, macrocosmically and microcosmically, will be seen and comprehended by the wise student. Group B, Agni Shaitans. In taking up the matter of the second group of Agni Shaitans, Group B, we are dealing with that important group of devas who are designated in some works as the devas of the shadows. Their function is primarily a fourfold one, and they are the basis of motion or of activity on all planes, which activity is produced by the interplay of the negative and positive aspects of Brahma, the manifested God. First, they are the builders of the etheric bodies of all sentient existences, and primarily of all the etheric bodies of men. Second, they are the transmitters of prana. Third, they perform a very definite function in the evolutionary process of linking up the four kingdoms of nature, being essentially the transmuter and transmitters of the lower into the higher. They build between each kingdom, mineral, vegetable, animal, and human, that which in each case corresponds to the antaskarana, or the bridge linking higher and lower manas, and which therefore is the channel for the transmission of the life from out of the lower human kingdom into the higher spiritual one. It will be found that between each of the different stages of consciousness, from the subconscious through the self-conscious to the superconscious, there is a period of linking, of building, and of bridging, and this is carried out by the agency of certain groups of devas on all the planes. Page 644. These three groups on the physical plane find their counterparts and their work paralleled on higher levels. The point to be remembered is that this work of bridging from one stage or from one kingdom to another has to be performed under the following conditions. A. As the result of an impulse emanating from the lower or originating in the active desire of the lower to embrace or contact the higher. This is of paramount importance, for all progress must be self-induced, self-initiated, and be the result of an inner activity. B. As the result of reflex action from the higher stage or kingdom, it is brought about by the activity of the lower, which calls forth a response from the higher. All vibration, it must be remembered, travels along waves of living substance. C. As the result of extraneous stimulation produced by the activity of certain conscious powers interested in the process of evolutionary development. All these conditions can be seen in the process of the initiation of man and of his transference from the fourth kingdom into the spiritual. His efforts must be self-induced, or the effect of his own self-conscious endeavor. They will meet with a response from his superconsciousness, the atmic aspect or spirit, and this dual interplay will be further aided by the guardians of the rites of initiation. Yet all three effects are felt in spirit-matter. All proceed under the law of vibration, and this law is literally the response of deva substance to force emanating from some conscious or unconscious source. Fourth, these devas of the shadows perform certain activities of an interesting and varied kind, but of such diversity as to make enumeration well nigh impossible. Page 645. We might attempt with brevity to state a few of these functions, remembering ever that what can be predicated of them on the physical plane can also be predicated of their correspondences on all the planes. This we can leave to the student to work out for himself, begging him again to bear in mind that we are dealing with the devas on the evolutionary arc, which may be divided into the following classes amongst many others. Class 1, the special agents of magic. They are peculiarly susceptible to the building vibrations of the seven rays. Class 2, a group of Agni Shaitans who manifest as physical plane electricity. They are a group who are coming somewhat under the control of man and will be more and more dominated by him. Class 3, a group who form the health auras of all the three middle kingdoms of nature, vegetable, animal, and human, either collectively or individually. Man is coming into contact with them along medical lines and beginning somewhat to recognize them. One of the great errors into which the human family has fallen has been the endeavor to administer mineral drugs to man for medicinal purposes. It has resulted in a combination of deva substances which was never intended. The relation of man to the lower kingdoms, and particularly to the animal and mineral, has brought about a peculiar condition in the deva world and has tended to complicate deva evolution. The use of animal food and the use of minerals as medicine in a lesser degree has produced a commingling of deva substance and of vibrations which are not attuned to each other. The vegetable kingdom is in a totally different situation, and part of its karma has lain in the providing of food for man. This has resulted in a needed transmutation of the life of that kingdom into the higher stage, the animal, which is its goal. Page 646. The transmutation of vegetable life takes place necessarily on the physical plane, hence its availability as food. The transmutation of the life of the animal into the human kingdom takes place on karma manasic levels, hence the non-availability, esoterically understood, of the animal as food for man. This is an argument for vegetarian living which needs due consideration. Class 4. A very important class of etheric devas, as far as man is concerned, who are definitely the constituent substance of his centers. They occupy this position for karmic reasons and are, from many angles, some of the most highly evolved of the devas of the shadows. They are distinguished by their ability to respond to a particular set of planetary vibrations in a peculiar manner, and in their essential essence, and in their own peculiar sphere, enable man to react to ray stimulation. Each center is under the influence of one or other of the planets. In this fact lies the ability of man eventually, through the agency of his centers, to put himself en rapport with the sevenfold soul of the world. Class 5. We have here a very important group of devas who are peculiarly active and esoterically dominant during this round. They are the Agni Shaitans who form the center which vibrates to the measure of Kundalini in its many forms and demonstrations. This is the center at the base of the spine. In this center we have a very effective display of the two polarities, for the petals of the center, which is the seat of Kundalini, and the fire or vitality which animates them, are negative and positive to each other. This center is to be found in some form or other in all sentient beings, and upon it largely depends A. consciousness at one of its seven stages, B. continuity of existence, C. perpetuation of species or reproduction on some or other of the planes. Page 647. It might be of interest here to note that this center is literally a fourfold radiation, and the cross of the Holy Spirit, the equal armed cross, is its symbol. This four-petaled lotus is the result of evolution. In the first kingdom of nature, the mineral, through which a specific entity is manifesting, this center is a unity on etheric levels, for only one petal is to be seen. In the vegetable kingdom, viewing it as the expression of a great existence, two petals are becoming active. In the third kingdom, the animal, the center at the base of the spine will be found to have three petals, whereas in man, the lotus is vibrating in a fourfold manner. At each initiation of the great being who is manifesting through our planet, one of these petals becomes unfolded on etheric levels, so that at individualization, the four became active, and his self-conscious activity was brought right down onto the physical plane. The analogy can be seen typified at his great initiation, which took place in the fourth round and the third root race. The correspondence between the third kingdom and the fourth, and their production of the esoteric seven, is one of the lines of study for the occultist. A As each of the petals of the etheric centers becomes vibrant, or an at-one-ment is brought about in Deva substance, a quickening takes place on allied levels in the cosmic etheric body of the planetary logos and of the solar logos. Certain correspondences in the petals of the egoic lotus of the different units of the human family and, on cosmic levels, in the solar and planetary egoic bodies becomes apparent. It should also be borne in mind that these basic centers, wherein the Kundalini fire lies hidden, are found in the following existences as they function in physical bodies. Page 648. 1. A solar logos. 2. A planetary logos. 3. Those entities who are the sum total of consciousness as it expresses itself through the different kingdoms of nature, manifesting through them as a man manifests through his body. 4. The lord of a chain. 5. The lord of a globe. 6. Certain beings who form the life of specific groups. They are esoteric, and their function is one of the secrets of initiation. 7. Man. 8. Animals. It should be here also remarked that in the logoic manifestation, one of the planetary schemes forms the center in the logoic body which harbors Kundalini. This scheme, whose name must not as yet be revealed, is largely given over to Deva control, the two groups of Devas meeting there and performing their function of animating the dense physical body of the logos in the same way as the Kundalini in man at this stage animates his dense physical vehicle. Later, as the third major scheme assimilates the life activity of the lower four, this Kundalini fire will be withdrawn and will be transmuted into the activity of the logoic throat center. In planetary manifestation, one of the chains performs a similar work in the evolutionary process of the planetary logos. Again, the same can be predicated of one of the globes in a chain. In this fourth round, therefore, it can be seen why the fire at the base of the spine, viewing it in its esoteric significance and in connection with the logos and the logoi, and not only in connection with man, plays so dominant a part in the stimulation of the logoic quaternary or of his lower self. Page 649. Herein is found the mystery of present evil, the source of present distress, and the basis of planetary experience. The Kundalini fire in the logoic body is at the height of its activity in stimulating his physical body, our lower three systemic planes, and the four petals of that particular center are coming into full activity in this fourth round. It must be remembered that he is the sum total of all the centers in manifestation and the aggregate of all the fires of Kundalini in every department of nature. The trouble in our planet, and likewise the hope for our planet, lies in this very fact. The etheric center of our planetary logos, being in matter of the fourth cosmic ether, the Buddhic plane, stimulates at present his lower quaternary, our three worlds of human endeavor. The direction of the force lies here, and not until the next round, when three-fifths of the human kingdom will be developing the Buddhic vehicle, will the point of equilibrium for him be reached and the direction of the serpent fire be directed higher. This holds the clue to much. A further clue to the sad condition to be seen in the world, especially along sex lines, lies in the fact that those units of the human family who contribute to the constitution of this particular center out of the seven are frequently at this stage over-vitalized, the physical vehicle vitality indicating to them the line of least resistance. To word it otherwise, the Deva forces who form the center and are likewise the activity of the center are as yet over-dominant, and the power they acquired in the earlier solar system has not yet been transmuted into spiritual power. End of side one, cassette number 15, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, page 649. Continued on side two. Side two, cassette number 15, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, continuing section two, division D, Thought and Fire Elementals, on page 649. We have above considered a few of the devas of the ethers, but have of necessity left many untouched. The vastness of our subject will be apparent when it is remembered that in dealing with the devas, we are dealing with that which is the basic substance of manifestation, or spirit matter, with the negative or the mother aspect, in the divine duality, and with the sum total of all that is, page 650. We are concerned with the tangible form, using the word tangible as that which can be apprehended by consciousness in one or other of its many states. The utter impossibility of cataloguing the forms and aspects of deva substance, or of tabulating the myriad groups and classes, will be borne in on our comprehension. On all the planes, these three groups will be found, and all are recipients of force. An analogy likewise exists between these three groups of devas on the systemic physical plane and their correspondences on the cosmic physical plane. Briefly, it might be pointed out that we have Group A, the plane Adi, systemic atomic, divine evolution. Group B, the three worlds of the triad, logoic etheric, spiritual evolution. Group C, the three worlds, logoic dense physical, human evolution. In this lies much of interest for the student, as it makes clear the correspondence between the evolution of substance and the evolution of spirit. As regards the devas of Group B, little more can be said. Only a few more generalities are advisable. These devas, especially those of the fourth ether, are so closely connected with man that one of the immediate developments ahead will be his awakening to a realization of their existence and his consequent gradual domination of them. This domination will be the result of several things, but will only be complete when he can function on the fourth cosmic ether, the Buddhic plane. One of the things the hierarchy at this stage is seeking to do is to retard this awakening of the mass of mankind to this realization, for that event will necessitate many adjustments and, at the beginning, may produce many apparently evil effects. Page 651. The development of the physical eye is a thing which is proceeding under the law, and inevitably the whole race of men will at length attain that dual focus which will enable man to see both the dense and the etheric forms. At this stage, his inability to do so is largely due to a lack of pranic vitality. This is mainly the result of wrong conditions of living and the misuse of food. The present general trend towards juster and purer conditions of life, the return of man to simpler and saner ways, the widespread feeling for bathing, fresh air, and sunlight, and the greater desire for vegetable and nut foods, will result inevitably in a more ready assimilation of the pranic fluids. This will produce certain changes and improvements in the physical organs and in the vitality of the etheric body. Therefore, those of us who see somewhat of the plan are urged to spread the knowledge of the wisdom religion and above all to break loose from the preconceived dogmas of pre-war days. It should be pointed out here that the war was a great occult event and caused a vital change in many of the plans and arrangements of the hierarchy. Modifications have been necessitated, and some events will have to be delayed whilst others will be hastened. One of the profoundest effects of the war was felt among the devas of the shadows, and primarily among those of the fourth order. The etheric web which protected certain groups in the human and animal kingdoms was rent in various places, and the results of that disaster have to be offset. Another effect upon the devas resulting from the war, as it worked, can be seen among the devas of Group A, or those devas who are, in an occult sense, the physical permanent atoms of all self-conscious beings. The fourth spirilla was tremendously stimulated, and its evolution hastened to an extraordinary degree, so that some of the lesser evolved men, through the stress of danger and experience, had this fourth spirilla brought up to and beyond that of normal humanity. Page 652. Through this stimulation of the fourth spirilla of the units of the fourth creative hierarchy in this fourth round on the fourth globe in this fourth scheme, a tremendous push onward along the evolutionary path has been effected, and hence one of the great objects of the war has been achieved. A still more terrific stimulation was given in the fourth Rudras during the war of that period, and the result was the passing on to the path of initiation of many who normally would not even now be treading it. A similar effect can be looked for at this time, and the hierarchy is preparing itself for the taking over of much of an extraplanetary nature owing to the almost immediate availability of comparatively large numbers of the sons of man. We must not forget that this stimulation of the spirille affects the matter aspect, or deva substance. Man is literally deva substance and a god, thus being a true reflection of the solar logos. Footnote, quote, "Thus God dwells in all, from life's minute beginnings up at last to man, the consummation of this scheme of being, the completion of this sphere of life, whose attributes had here and there been scattered o'er the visible world before, asking to be combined, dim fragments meant to be united in some wondrous whole, imperfect qualities throughout creation, suggesting some one creature yet to make, some point where all those scattered rays should meet, convergent in the faculties of man. When all the race is perfected alike, as man, that is, all tended to mankind, and man produced, all has its end thus far. But incompleted man begins anew a tendency to God. Prognostics told man's near approach, so in man's self arise august anticipations, symbols, types of a dim splendor ever on before in that eternal circle life pursues. For men begin to pass their nature's bound, and find new hopes and cares which fast supplant their proper joys and griefs. They grow too great for narrow creeds of right and wrong, which fade before the unmeasured thirst for good, whilst peace rises within them ever more and more. Such men are even now upon the earth, serene amid the half-formed creatures round." Close quote. Paracelsus by Robert Browning. Footnote. 1. Man is an animal plus a living god within his physical shell. A. Man is the macrocosm for the animal, therefore he contains all that is meant by the term animal. B. Divine consciousness is received from the living god. C. The animal forms the basis and the contrast for the divine. D. The light of the logos is awakened in animal man. 2. Man is the tabernacle, the vehicle only of his God. Study biblical description of tabernacle. A. Outer court, the place of animal sacrifice and purification. B. The holy place, the place of consecration and service. C. The holy of holies. The first corresponds to the life of the personality, the second to that of the ego or higher self, the last to that of the monad or divine self. 3. Man contains in himself every element found in the universe. A. All in nature tends to become man. B. All the impulses of the dual centripetal and centrifugal force are directed towards one point, man. C. Man is the storehouse. He unites in himself all forms. D. The potentiality of every organ useful to animal life is locked up in man. 4. Man tends to become a god, and then God, like every other atom in the universe. Compare the atom and the microcosm, man. Every atom has 7 planes of being. A. Every atom contains the germ from which he may raise the tree of knowledge, of good and evil, therefore conscious discrimination. B. It is the spiritual evolution of the inner immortal man that forms the fundamental tenet of the occult sciences. C. Atoms and souls are synonymous terms in the language of the initiates. 5. Human beings, those intelligences who have reached the appropriate equilibrium between spirit and matter. A. On the descending arc, spirit becomes material. B. On the middle turn of the base, both meet in man. C. On the ascending arc, spirit asserts itself at the expense of the material. D. This is true of gods and of men. E. Man is therefore a compound of spirit and matter. F. In man, the intelligence links the two. Taken from The Secret Doctrine, Volumes 1 and 2. Return to text. Page 653. Group A, Agni Shaitans. We have seen that on all planes, the groups of devas can be divided into three main groups, even though usually studied in their dual capacity of involutionary and evolutionary force units. Page 654. Broadly speaking, these groups can be viewed as A, those which embody the positive aspect or positive electrical phenomena, B, those which embody the negative aspect, C, that group which, in time and space, is the union of the two aspects and which, during evolution, demonstrates the third type of electrical phenomena. Another grouping of this triplicity can be made which brings them into line with the order of manifestation as laid down in the ancient cosmogony, and this we followed when we enumerated the groups of Agni Shaitans. Group A corresponds to the manifestations of existence as seen on the highest plane, or that aspect which is understood by the term Agni. Group B corresponds to the Vishnu Surya aspect. Group C corresponds to the Brahma or the creative logos aspect. We have recapitulated thus, as it is desirable to have the thought clearly defined. We have touched upon the two lower groups of devas. Now we might take up the consideration of group A, the most important group on the physical plane, from the standpoint of creation and of objectivity, for they are the life of matter itself and the intelligence animating the forms of all that exists on the systemic physical plane. They are not self-conscious intelligence, but consciousness as understood by the occultist. Page 655. Each of the atomic subplanes in the solar system is closely interrelated with the others, and the seven atomic subplanes of all the planes form a unity and are essentially the cosmic physical plane as the term is occultly understood. The subplanes, of which they are the originating source, bear the same relationship to them as the six principles do to the seventh. Therefore, the devas of Group A are the concentrated creative force of the subplanes, the origin of the objective side of physical manifestation, and the source of the seven breaths of the creative logos on the physical plane. But it must be remembered that in each scheme, the creative impulse or will is the planetary logos of the scheme, who, as truly creates his body of manifestation under the law, his dense physical planet, as man, under the same law, creates his physical body, or, as the solar logos at the other end of the scale, creates his body, a solar system. This has a definite and esoteric bearing upon the subject under discussion, and the essential differences between the heavenly men seeking manifestation will be seen in their schemes, and therefore in the types of devas through whom they function, and out of whose essence their form is made. It might be expressed thus. Just as each man has a body which, in its main characteristics and form, resembles other bodies, yet in its quality and personal distinctive features is unique, so each of the heavenly men builds for himself a body out of deva substance or spirit matter, which is of the same nature as that of his brothers, and yet which is distinctive, colored by his own peculiar coloring, vibrant to his own particular key, and able to demonstrate his own unique quality. This is produced through the peculiar type of deva essence he chooses, or, to word it perhaps more occultly, it has involved the response of certain peculiar groups of devas to his note. Page 656. They embody in themselves just those constituents which he requires to build his body or scheme. It will therefore be recognized that the devas of Group A, being what we might call the key devas, are of prime importance, and from our present standpoint must remain abstract and esoteric. If we consider this under the law of analogy and study the essentially esoteric nature of the plane of the logos, the first plane called Adi, the reason for this will be apparent. If the devas of Group A could be recognized or even contacted by advanced men, the study of their nature, coloring, and tone would reveal to unprepared humanity the coloring and tone of our particular planetary logos. For this knowledge, the race is not ready. It would reveal also, through a study of the law of action and reaction, which of the incarnating egos were on the ray of this logos. The deductions from this would lead men into dangerous realms and put power into hands as yet unprepared to wield it wisely. Therefore, Group A of Agni Shaitans must remain profoundly esoteric, and their true nature can only be revealed to the adept of the Great Law. Thus, only a few hints are permissible, and these deal simply with the relationship of man to these entities. He is related to them primarily because his physical permanent atom is directly energized by them, being a part of their essential nature and having a place in their form. It will be apparent to any student that if the permanent atoms of the lower man are within the causal periphery, the devas of the three worlds on the atomic subplanes must work in the closest cooperation. There must be unity of purpose and of plan. The devas of the atomic levels of all the planes in our scheme work in close affiliation. Page 657. A. With each other, thus making seven groups who are the sum total of the Brahma aspect of our planetary logos. B. With the seven groups who constitute the atomic matter of that scheme, which is the polar opposite of ours. C. With that particular group in that scheme, which is one of the points in a systemic triangle, of which our scheme and our opposite scheme are the other two. D. With corresponding groups in lesser degree in all the systemic schemes. E. With the scheme which corresponds to the first aspect, or the plane of Adi. F. With those devas who form the spirit substance of the manifestation of that particular Rishi of the Great Bear, who is the prototype of our particular planetary logos. G. With those devas who form the substance of that one of those esoteric existences who are spoken of in the secret doctrine as the wives of the seven Rishis, or the seven sisters, the Pleiades. One of these seven sisters has a close connection with our heavenly man, and therefore we have an interesting cosmic interplay as follows. 1. One of the seven Rishis of the Great Bear. 2. One of the seven sisters, or a Pleiad. 3. The heavenly man of our scheme. This interplay will be threefold, and as far as we are concerned just now, will evolve a transmission of life force through the atomic matter of our planes circulating in deva substance. This will materially affect certain types of humanity more than others according to their ray and nature, and this effect will demonstrate in a vivification of the spirillae of the permanent atoms and of the centers. Page 658. Agni Suryans, astroplane devas. We start here upon a consideration of those groups of devas who are the substance of the astroplane, the Agni Suryans. They may be considered in the following manner, and by the employment of synonymous terms, some general idea of their function may be arrived at before we begin to differentiate them into groups and study their relation to 1. The various entities who are the soul of the differing kingdoms or groups, such as the animal kingdom, the human kingdom, and higher in the scale of consciousness than men, the planetary logos. 2. Man himself. 3. The plane as a totality. We might consider these devas first as the substance of the astral plane in its seven grades. Second, as that aspect of logoic manifestation which corresponds to the liquid subplane in the systemic physical plane. Third, as the vehicle of the deva lord Varuna. Fourth, as the animating lives of that involutionary matter of the astral plane which we call the elemental essence, and as the vitality energizing the desire elementals of all that is sentient. Viewed in this aspect, in connection especially with man, they are the correspondents on the astral plane to the devas of the shadows, for the desire bodies of all human beings are composed of matter of the second, third, and fourth subplanes of the astral plane. This is a point which should be closely considered, and the analogy between the etheric body, the vehicle of prana, vitalizing the dense physical, and man's astral body and the method of its vitalization will be found illuminating. Page 659. Fifth, from the standpoint of the physical plane, as the sum total of material activity, even though subjective, which produces that which is tangible and objective, just as the solar system is a sun of necessity or of desire, so the physical bodies of all that exist are the product of the desire of some greater or lesser entity within the system. It might be apposite here to point out the lines along which energy, whether manasic, pranic, or astral, enters the system and reaches a particular plane, thus finding its way to all units of consciousness from an atom to a solar locus. The dense physical plane itself is energized via A, the planetary etheric body, B, the mental plane, or the cosmic gaseous subplane, C, the atmic plane, or the third cosmic ether, D, the plane of Adi, or the first cosmic ether, and inferentially by means of the logoic permanent atom, a similar flow of force enters from cosmic levels. The astral plane is energized via A, the Buddhic plane, the fourth cosmic ether, B, the monadic plane, the second cosmic ether, C, the cosmic astral plane, and thus to the heart of all being. The mental plane is energized via A, the atmic plane, the third cosmic ether, B, the plane Adi, the first cosmic ether, C, the cosmic mental plane, beyond which it is unnecessary for us to go. It will be noted by the careful student that these planes might be looked at in connection with the three worlds as demonstrating two types of force. First, a force which tends to differentiation, such as on the mental plane, the plane of inherent separation, and on the physical plane, the plane of actual separation. Secondly, a force which tends to unity, such as on the astral plane and on the plane of essential harmony, the Buddhic plane. Page 660. It must be remembered that we are considering force as it flows through or permeates deva substance. A hint as to the truth lies in the fact that at present the astral body of man is positive to the physical plane, negative to the mental, and positive to the Buddhic plane. As evolution proceeds, the astral body should become positive to the mental, and thus prove incapable of being swayed by thought currents and the separative processes of that plane, and negative to the Buddhic plane or receptive to the forces from that plane. When it has attained equilibrium and the forces are evenly balanced, the astral body should become the transmitter from the Buddhic plane, the fourth cosmic ether, via the gaseous to the dense physical plane. This thought should be studied in connection with the burning of the etheric web of the planet, thus illumination may come. Literally, there is no such division on the astral plane as we find on the mental or on the physical planes. On both those planes, we have a division into two, the mental plane being divided into higher and lower, rupa and arupa, concrete and abstract, and the physical plane into the etheric levels and the dense subplanes. There is therefore a correspondence between these two. The reason for this apparent division, considering the question apart from the states of consciousness of a human being, is due to the stage of development of the great devas who embody the plane, who ensoul it, and who manifest through it as a man manifests through his body. Varuna, the lord of the astral plane, has achieved a more unified conscious control than his brothers of the mental and physical planes. Page 661. He comes into manifestation in connection with one of the heavenly men, who is the lord of a major ray. The other two are linked up with the lords of a minor ray. There is a suggestive hint for students in this information. We may justly ask why, if this is so, it should apparently manifest so disastrously in connection with man. There are several reasons for this, one being that the force flowing through the vehicle of the great deva, the plane, is consequently stronger than in the other two cases, and this is owing to his more advanced stage of development, and also to the fact that the locus himself is polarized in his astral body. Another reason is that he has a peculiar link with the ruler of the animal kingdom, and as the human being has not yet dissociated himself from nor learnt to control his animal nature, he too comes under the influence of this tremendous force. There are other reasons hidden in the karma of our heavenly man, but the above reasons suffice. 1. The function of the Agni Suryans. The devas of the astral plane are those with whom man is very specially connected at this time, owing to his astral polarization and to the place desire and feeling play in his development. Consciousness expands through contact, through intelligent appreciation of that which is contacted, and through realization of that which is to be gained through a specific contact. That which is contacted depends upon reciprocal vibration and the place, therefore, of desire, which is the going out after sensation, and of feeling, which is the reflex of that desire, is of real importance. They put man constantly in touch, even though he realizes it not, with deva's substance of some kind or another. Even when man has reached a relatively high stage of evolution, the demonstration of that point of attainment is seen in the type of not-self which he contacts. It is only when he is an initiate that he begins to approximate and to know the meaning of the essential unity which lies at the heart of being, and to comprehend the oneness of the universal soul and the unity of that subjective life which secretes itself behind form of every kind. Page 662. It should never be forgotten that the matter aspect is found on all planes, also that forms are ever to be found. Until the solar ring pass knot is transcended and the logos escapes from his present limitation. Owing to this, the devas of the astral plane assume a very important place in the three worlds. Previously, we considered them in a fivefold aspect, dividing them into five groups. At this point, we will limit our consideration to the relationship of self-conscious units, such as man and the planetary logos, to this deva substance. A great distinction exists between man and his prototype, a heavenly man. The astral plane plays a very real part in the evolution of man, having a close connection with one of his principles. Astral matter and vibration is one of the controlling factors in the lives of the great majority of people. To the heavenly man, astral matter corresponds to the liquid portion in the physical body of man, and is for him, therefore, no principle. The astral plane is man's principal battleground and the area of his most intense field of sensation. Mental sensation, esoterically understood, is for him as yet only a possibility. The astral body is the seat of man's most violent vibration, and these vibrations are a potent cause of his physical plane activities. If man only realized it, the devas of the astral plane at present very largely control what he does and says, and his goal of evolution, his immediate goal, is to liberate himself from their control in order that he, the real ego or thinker, may be the dominating influence. To be explicit and thus to illustrate this point, the little elemental lives which form the body of the emotions and the positive life of any evolutionary deva who, through similarity of vibration, is linked to any particular man, and who gives to him an astral body of a coherent and positive power, are as yet practically in control of the majority. Page 663. Man usually does as his desires and instincts prompt him. If this evolutionary deva is of a high order, as will be the case in a highly developed man, the vibration will be high, and the desires and instincts will be good and exoterically right. Nevertheless, if the man is controlled by them, he is as yet under deva influence and must free himself. If the deva life is of a low order, the man will demonstrate low and vicious instincts and desires of a vile caliber. If these remarks are rightly apprehended, some understanding will come of what is meant when the deva evolution is spoken of as being a parallel evolution to that of man. In the three worlds, the two lines of evolution parallel each other and must not be consciously one. In the planes of the triad, they are known as a unity producing the divine hermaphrodite, or the heavenly man, the self-conscious human units embodying the three aspects of divinity, while the conscious deva units embody the divine attributes. The two blended together form the body of manifestation, the centers and substance of the heavenly man. Great is the mystery, and until man knows his place within the conscious whole, he should preserve his opinion as to the meaning thereof. It will be apparent, therefore, in view of the connection between the astral plane with its unified work and the buddhic plane with the conscious harmony there experienced, that the astral body of man calls for the closest study and understanding. A link will be found through its medium with the buddhic plane, and harmonious activity on the physical plane will be produced. The student of occultism should study carefully in this connection, A, the physical sun and its relation to prana and the etheric body, page 664, B, the subjective sun and its connection with the astral plane, with the karma manasic principle and the astral body, C, the central spiritual sun and its relation to the spirit or atma in man, D, the heart of the sun and its relation to the lower and higher mental bodies, producing that peculiar manifestation we call the causal body. In this connection, it must be remembered that the force which flows from the heart of the sun works through a triangle formed by the Venusian scheme, the earth and the sun. That another triangle was also formed involving two planets was to be expected under the law, and the triangles vary according to the scheme involved. Cosmically, there is a very interesting series of triangles which will be found by the student of esoteric astronomy and of occult cycles. They originate in the central sun of our particular group of solar systems. This series involves the Pleiades. The fact that this is so will not be known until the last decade of the present century, and will not be recognized by science till that time when certain lines of knowledge and discovery will bring scientists to a realization that there is a third type of electricity, whichever balances and forms the apex of the triangle. But the time is not yet. All that is here said is expressed in terms of deva groups and deva forces, which form, in their aggregate, substance responsive to analogous vibration. This is occultly expressed under certain definite names. It is possible, therefore, to transmit safely information of a character incomprehensible to the profane, in such a phrase, for instance, as, quote, the triangle of dot 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 of dot 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 and of group dot 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 of the Agni Suryans formed itself and in the turning of the wheel produced the third, close quote. This conveys to the mind of the occultist the knowledge that in the flow of force from a particular constellation outside our system altogether, through a particular planetary scheme, and thus through the astral body of a planetary logos, a condition was brought about which produced the appearance of the third kingdom in nature, the sentient, conscious, animal kingdom. Page 665. Some such similar phrase embodies also the deva connection with man's individualization, but it profits not to pass it on. The above is only quoted in order to do three things. 1. Demonstrate somewhat the nature and extent of the forces flowing through our system. 2. Show the close connection we have with the deva evolution. 3. Emphasize the triangular nature and interrelation of all that eventuates. It might be advisable here to bring out a point in connection with the devas of the lower planes, those with whom man is peculiarly connected. They can be divided into certain groups, indicating their place in the scale of consciousness. Perhaps the question may here be asked, why we are dealing only with those deva groups which are to be found in the three worlds. Occultly understood, these devas of the type we are considering are only found in the dense physical body of the logos, being the substance of the lower three subplanes of the cosmic physical. The old commentary says as follows, quote, the spheres of fire seek location upon the lower three. They originate by medium of the fifth, yet merge upon the planes of yoga. When the fiery essences permeate all, then there is no more the fifth, nor sixth, nor seventh, but only the three shining by medium of the fourth. Close quote. Therefore, for the purposes of our present study, the devas are only to be found in the three worlds. Beyond those three planes, we have the three aspects of the major three manifesting through the fourth. We have, consequently, the spheres of the planetary logoi upon the plane of buddhi. Page 666. They synthesize all that has been developing through the denser manifestation. From the standpoint of the esoteric philosophy, the cosmic physical plane on which our entire solar system has its place must be studied in a dual manner. 1. From the point of view of the heavenly men, covering the evolutions of the four higher planes or the etheric levels. Of these we can know practically nothing until after initiation, at which time the consciousness of the human being is transferred gradually onto the cosmic etheric planes. 2. From the standpoint of the human being in the three worlds. Man is the consummating evolution in the three worlds, just as the heavenly men are in the higher four. In the three worlds, we have the parallel evolutions, deva and human in their many varying grades, the human naturally concerning us the most intimately, though the two evolve through interaction with each other. In the higher four worlds, we have this duality viewed as a unity, and the aspect of the synthetic evolution of the heavenly men is the one considered. It would interest us much, could we but understand a little, of the point of view of those great devas who cooperate intelligently in the plan of evolution. They have their own method of expressing these ideas, the medium being color, which can be heard, and sound, which can be seen. Man reverses the process and sees colors and hears sounds. A hint lies here as to the necessity for symbols, for they are signs which convey cosmic truths and instruction, and can be comprehended alike by the evolved of both evolutions. It should be borne in mind, as earlier pointed out, that A. Man is demonstrating the aspects of divinity. The devas are demonstrating the attributes of divinity. Page 667. B. Man is evolving the inner vision and must learn to see. The devas are evolving the inner hearing and must learn to hear. C. Both are as yet imperfect, and an imperfect world is the result. D. Man is evolving by means of contact and experience. He expands. The devas evolve by means of the lessening of contact. Limitation is the law for them. E. Man aims at self-control. Devas must develop by being controlled. F. Man is innately love, the force which produces coherency. The devas are innately intelligence, the force which produces activity. G. The third type of force, that of will, the balancing equilibrium of electrical phenomena, has to play equally upon and through both evolutions. But in the one it demonstrates as self-consciousness, and in the other as constructive vibration. In the heavenly men, these two great aspects of divinity are equally blended, and in the course of the Maha Manvantara, the imperfect gods become perfect. These broad and general distinctions are pointed out as they throw light upon the relationship of man to the devas. The devas of the physical plane, though divided into the three groups, A, B, C, are under another grouping spoken of as the devas of the seventh order. The seventh order is peculiarly linked to the devas of the first order on the first plane. They are the reflectors of the mind of God, of which the first order is the expression, and manifest it as it has worked through from the archetypal plane, page 668. This seventh order of devas is directly under the influence of the seventh ray, and the planetary logos of that ray works in close cooperation with the Raja Lord of the seventh plane. As the goal of evolution for the devas is the inner hearing, it will be apparent why mantric sounds and balanced modulations are the method of contacting them and of producing varying phenomena. This seventh order of devas is the one with which the workers on the left-hand path are concerned, working through vampirism and the devitalization of their victims. They deal with the etheric bodies of their enemies, and by means of sounds affect deva substance, thus producing the desired results. The white magician does not work on the physical plane with physical substance. He transfers his activities to a higher level and hence deals with desires and motives. He works through the devas of the sixth order. The devas of the sixth order are those of the astral plane and are the devas who have the most to do with the forces which produce the phenomena we call love, sex impulse, instinct, or the driving urge and motive which demonstrates later on the physical plane in activity of some kind. The positive vibration set up on the astral plane produces results on the physical, and that is why the white brother, if he works with the devas at all, works only on the astral plane and with the positive aspect. These devas of the sixth order, as might be expected, are closely linked with those of the second order on the monadic plane, and with the heart center of the particular heavenly man on whose ray they may be found. They are allied, too, to the deva forces on the buddhic plane, and in these three great orders of devas we have a powerful triangle of electrical force, the three types of electricity which are met with in occult books. It should be borne in mind that the equilibrizing type of force, at present an unknown type, flows in from the buddhic plane at this time, and the apex of the triangle is there. Page 669. These three orders are, in this solar system, the most potent, especially in this fourth round. They influence particularly the fourth kingdom of nature and are the basis of that search for balance, of that aspiration towards harmony, union, and yoga, which distinguishes man in all grades. It shows in its lower manifestation as the sex instinct as we know it, and in its higher as longing for union with God. These devas of the sixth order come under the special influence of the Lord of the sixth ray of abstract idealism, and it is their connection with him which facilitates the working through of the archetypal idea onto the physical plane. The sixth creative hierarchy, likewise, is specially connected with this particular order of devas, and through this dual influence is produced that physical manifestation which is definitely objective, one type of force working through the etheric manifestation, and the other through the dense physical. This will as yet prove an insoluble mystery to the student, but in the significance of numbers much can be discovered. This angle of the matter should be studied in order to bring out the true meaning of this sixth order of devas, whose symbol is the six-pointed star set at a particular angle and in full manifestation. The six-pointed star is the sign that a son of necessity, no matter whether God or man, has sought physical incarnation. Page 670. The devas of the sixth order, the Agni Suryans, are a prime factor in bringing this about. In the sixth round, these devas will begin to make their presence felt more and more potently, but the strength of their vibration will be very gradually turned upwards and not downwards into the physical plane. This will involve the transmutation of desire into aspiration and will produce eventually the liberation of the planetary logos and bring a manvantara, or his cycle of physical incarnation, to a close. Withdrawal of the force of desire results likewise in the cessation of man's physical existence. The old commentary expresses this truth in the following words, quote, "The sixth retire within themselves. They turn towards the fifth, leaving the seventh alone." Close quote. End of side 2, cassette number 15, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, page 670. Continued on cassette number 16.